There are many pathways into this wilderness experience of the season of Lent and the way it designs to hold that for us. We can follow Jesus on his 40-day desert journey and draw inspiration from his non-anxious presence. We can heed the scriptural prompts delivered to us today. Beware of the pitfalls that come when spiritual hypocrisy ensnares us. We can contemplate our ashen foreheads and the dusty words of mortality that remind us that we were not created invincible, despite all the worldly deceptions that try to convince us otherwise. We can ponder what we give up in Lent or what we take on in Lent in hopes that such redirection might land us on a more life-giving and meaningful path. These are all worthwhile approaches into Lent, but undergirding them all is this invitation to go down deep and in, to take this Lenten time to mine the depths of our being where shadows and spiritual truths mingle. Annie Dillard, in her great book, Teaching a Stone to Talk, describes it this way: in the deeps are the violence and terror of which psychology has warned us. But if you ride these monsters deeper down, if you drop with them farther over the world's rim, you will find what our science cannot locate or name: the substrate, the ocean, or matrix, or ether, which buoys the rest, which gives goodness its power for good, and evil its power for evil, the unified field, our complex and inexplicable caring for each other and for our life together here. This is given, Annie says. It is not learned. Every Ash Wednesday, I read an essay by Parker Palmer entitled Leading from Within that invites me deeper into this journey of Lenten spiritual work. I commend it to you. It's actually a chapter from his book, Let Your Life Speak. I would commend it too. He draws inspiration from Annie Dillard's spiritual imagery that I just shared, and he offers a way in these words. Parker says, Annie is saying that we must go in and down, and that on the way down and in, we will meet the violence and terror we have within ourselves, that we project outward onto our institutions, onto our society. She's talking about projecting the hate within ourselves onto somebody else, but also connecting with the deep place where we are in community with each other underneath our brokenness. They are both speaking, of course, of the propensity of human goodness and the paradoxical human propensity to sin. I know we don't like talking about sin, but Ash Wednesday invites us to anyway. Not to beat us up or to beat us down, but precisely to invite us into this deep work to go in and down far enough to find the good that is there within us, deeply seated. We can scratch the surface as we speak of sin as just a tally of life's peccadilloes that cumulatively form a personal economy of moral value. The bigger the sum total of all my sins, the further I am away from earning any chance of God's good graces. To leave it there misses the point. Hegel called that superficial approach to sin little more than crowd control cloaked in religious language. No, sin is more than just scorekeeping across life's momentary decisions. It is the state of contradiction to the true self, the one to be found deep down and in, beyond the violence and terror we do to ourselves. Sin is the state of being cut off from that true place, or the state of being entrapped in places that are not life-giving. We all know this in our own lives. Sin is the lie we tell ourselves in the dark stillness of night, that God could never love me, so what's the point of any of it anyway? Sin is the lie we tell ourselves that if I'm going to make it in this life, I have to do it myself. Parker Palmer calls that functional atheism. Sin is the lie that convinces us to project what we don't like about ourselves onto others or onto the institutions in our lives. They become the problem. The pressure valve within us gets a momentary relief, but then in the dark stillness, once more, the monsters still come a-calling. No, Ash Wednesday invites us to go deeper down, past the terror and the violence we do to ourselves and to others, and to find the unifying wholeness of relationship and to be liberated by it. We yearn for this liberating future, this new life within. Our prayers today on Ash Wednesday express this deep longing for such things and the hope that it is still possible. Because, friends, with God, all things are possible. We don't go down into the brokenness to get trapped there. Sin serves as something of an alarm that cajoles us from our sleepy deceptions and awakens us to the truth that God is not out there somewhere, but resides deeper down and in, where our sense of relatedness unfolds to the unifying power of God's love. And Ash Wednesday reminds us we need not go it alone. Ash Wednesday reminds us we cannot go it alone if we're to make our way. It's why we celebrate the Eucharist on Ash Wednesday, to remind us of the communal reality of this healing connection, that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcome at God's table. Now, importantly, this deep down place is also the locus of true forgiveness, given and received. The monsters whisper their lies to us that there are things that we have done that simply cannot be forgiven. Those same monsters yell to us that there are things others have done to us that cannot be forgiven. But the divine truth spoken deeper down is that nothing that has happened, no matter how tragic or awful, can hold us captive forever. And finally, the Lenten journey deep down is all predicated on the truth that God can overcome evil, and does, and yearns for you and me to discover that in our lives. My friends, our Lenten hope is not misplaced, because the creative power of the cosmos is with us and for us and in us, in unrelenting love and an abiding relationship waiting to be discovered and rediscovered by each of us time and again. So I bid you, may your Lenten journey take you deep down and in and through to new life. Amen.